Hello, everybody. Welcome to another amazing edition of the Gimmick Minute Wrestling Podcast. My name is Jason, and I'm joined this week by both Kevin and Riley. How are you fellas doing today?
Fantastic.
All right. Kev? No? Nothing? He's got a Orange Cassidy thumbs up. All right, so our YouTube viewers will see that. All right, so if you're new to the show, we are the Gimmick Minute Wrestling Podcast. We basically just talk about things going on in the world of professional wrestling with our delightful little banter kind of mixed in between. A lot of times we go off the rails and stay completely off of topic, but it's just kind of the fun of our show. So if you want to listen in more or you want to subscribe, please click the subscribe button. Make sure you comment on the show. Leave us a review. And in addition to that, if you want to find out information on our podcast or interact with me specifically, you can find me on X, which is at Live Your Gimmick. That's the at symbol followed by LiveYourGimmick. Riley and Kevin don't really interact much on Twitter. Riley doesn't even have one or know what it is. So, it's really just me if you ever see anything posted or comments made on things.
Mostly comments made on things.
Yeah, I do like to comment on things. I do like to throw in my two cents every now and again, but I try to do so in a way to create discord, not in a way to create controversy. But I think sometimes now, it ends up Michael going the other
here, way. If Michael's here, he would say it's more like someone on Twitter says the sky is blue, and Jason says, "No, you fucking Mark, it's green."
but it's not quite like that. By the way, all right. So I feel.
Can we start off the show? Can we start off the show talking about Barry Windham?
Yeah, please.
Okay. He's one of my favorites. All right, moving on.
That's for Tony.
I would like to hear more.
Do you care to elaborate on your favorite being Barry Windham?
No. That's enough for this week. There'll be more next.
Riley, did you come prepared with your one note?
That's a no.
Yeah, I think I have a note. I've got something up my sleeve.
Why are you getting a pen and a paper? And what are you searching?
Yeah, I think I have one. I think I do.
Yeah.
All right, so I figure we'll touch a little bit on some things that happened on Raw and SmackDown. Maybe even touch on a quick NXT thing, but then pretty much spend the majority of the time talking about AEW because Dynamite just happened yesterday. Plus, we got Full Gear coming up on Saturday, so maybe we'll do like a little kind of light prediction for Full Gear. And I'll be honest with you, I've never really considered buying an AEW pay per view before. I think I've just gotten spoiled with WWE being on their own network or being on Peacock, where you basically just pay the monthly subscription and you get everything. So the whole idea of dropping like $60 on a show just doesn't really seem too appealing to me. But if there was one I was going to buy, this one might be it, because they do have me on at least two of the stories. And the first one being the MJF, the devil storyline, who is the devil. That's got me a little bit, you know, even though I'm pretty sure it's going to be Adam Cole. Like, I'm pretty positive it's going to be Adam Cole. Or at least, you know, some relation to Adam Cole.
Yeah, and then they also came out and said that apparently the supposed, it was Sean Ross Sapp, who's a pretty credible source. Like, he learned that the attackers are, like, legit people. Like, they haven't been just people they've been dressing up. Like, so they're a part of it too. So it's a legit like group of people, not just like, okay, it's just the devil, and then like you have random people. Like, these have been the actual like people that are going to be revealed. So
okay, well, that's good. Good to know. And it almost kind of seems like a little bit about what MJF tried to do when he stole the poker chip, and they had like that kind of faction, but then that. You know, things happened and that got kind of blown up. But and the other match that's got my attention is the Hangman Adam Page and Swerve Strickland match. I mean, that the storyline building to that is really good. And I mean, we'll talk about it a little bit later, but it just, you know, those two matches really have me. Like that's probably some of the best storytelling AEW has really done in quite a while, if not since their existence. So, you know, I'm intrigued. I may still not buy the pay-per-view, but I'm intrigued. It's at least got me wanting to put some money down on
it. It's going
to
put the bet that it's not CM Punk because he's coming back at Survivor Series. But anyway.
Right. But anyway, so going back, you know, WWE had Crown Jewel. We talked about that last week. And then, you know, of course, then we got into SmackDown. A couple quick things that kind of came out of SmackDown. One, the fact that Kevin Owens was on commentary. You know, we talked about who we thought might fill in for Corey Graves. It was Kevin Owens. I thought he did a brilliant job. I don't know about you guys.
Oh, yeah. I mean, 100%. As soon as I saw that, I was like, okay, this is going to be fucking cool. Are you kidding me?
Way better than Pat McAfee. Way better. Way better. Which brings me to my note. Too many sparkles. You got too many sparkles.
I did love the fact that he wore a tie over his t-shirt. That was great.
Oh, he always does that. Yeah. Classic.
It's still no like Triple H during the pandemic era.
Yeah, that was
still one of the best like in the longest time. So
when he came back and they came back from commercial and he was holding the camera,
he's like, "Guys, we're short staffed, or getting hyped with Mojo Rawley."
Yeah. Another good one too. Remember when everybody went on strike, and CM Punk did the commentary.
That could have been so much better if they like didn't like cut it so short. You know what I mean? Like, can I wear your jacket? You can wear my. Can I wear your blazer? You can wear my blazer. I'm in.
Yeah. Oh man. So yeah, and the other thing, man, it looks like Rey Mysterio might be out for a period of time. So they had a whole thing with Santos attacking him, and he had knee surgery.
Yeah,
so I guess that was a planned spot. He had posted a picture of himself with the the wrap on his knee, and said something about successful surgery. And Santos took the picture and reposted it and said, "Don't come back." So then what's going to happen now? So is the LWO a heel faction now, like under Santos, or what?
I mean, I just don't remember. Like, was anybody else, like, even – was this just pretty much them? I kind of, like, just – I was in and out of, like, this segment. Like, I eventually found it, like, and watched more of it. I guess, I mean, Santos going back through the crowd and stuff, but, like, I mean – I don't know. Like, yeah, is it going to be a thing where, like, where's Carlito playing this? And you know what I mean? Like,
were you going to say something,
Ron? Well, it looks like Santos is on the outs of LWO.
Okay.
And
one Latino nation.
Well, it's just kind of weird, though, because. You know, like Carlito was the one that kind of instigated the whole thing. Rey was trying to play peacemaker, but Carlito kind of, you know, came out and accused him, and then it led to that altercation with Santos and Rey. But you know, the other two, Wilder and Phoenix, they stayed out of it. Like they didn't really get involved much at all with it. So. Yeah, I guess that's a good question. Is there still going to be an LWO? Is Carlito the odd man out, or is Santos going to be the odd man out? Right. With Rey not being there for 6 to 8 months, and you still have Zelina too, so where's she fit into the whole thing? So it's just kind of it is kind of just weirdly up in the air. So yeah, be interesting to see what happens. But yeah, all right. I'm trying to think. I mean, I talked about it already, but Jimmy Uso's new character is great. Did you guys catch that backstage interview that he did?
Remind me.
He basically cut a promo on LA Knight, and during the promo, he was talking about how he was going to fight LA Knight, and that I forget exactly what he said, but a lot of people did point out that the board that he was standing in front of had some stars on it. So, you know, another CM Punk reference, but he goes, at the end of it, he goes, "Yeet," Yeah, and so, then all of a sudden, his phone rings, and he picks it up, and he goes, "Yeah, Tribal Chief, what's up?" And then he hangs up the phone, looks at the camera, and goes, "No yeets." That was great. That was good stuff, man. I'm loving everything Jimmy Uso's doing.
I just want to point out, I'm still here. I just had to go off camera because I'm just... Ava's driving home from Walsh, and I'm just checking her Life 360 to see where she's at. So I apologize for the interruption here.
Trying to make sure your daughter's not dying. I got it.
Who's driving home?
Ava.
Huh. I didn't know she was old enough to drive.
Yeah, she's older than Lily.
Last time I saw her, she was like 8 years old.
Yeah, she got her license a couple months ago. So she's, yeah.
Man, you're old.
Yeah, I know. You know, it's, I mean, it's still always nerve-wracking, not to go off, like, I know, it's a wrestling podcast, but, like, it's still nerve-wracking, but, like, knock on wood, she's a pretty good driver, and, you know, it's, I guess it's getting easier every day, so.
That's good.
I mean, your niece could be driving, too, if she wasn't lazy and not trying to get her temps.
So. I try to, yeah.
Some kids don't want to get their licenses.
Yeah, I know.
There's so many kids that are so like older than Ava that haven't done anything yet. Like not even gone through their temps.
Like I was older when I got mine. Like I was like 17 because I didn't need a car. I had you guys to pick me up all the time. So
I could not wait to get my license. Like Liam's like me. He wants to get his license now. Like I could not. I was like 12 years old ready to get my license. Like I mean, I got mine like 2 days after I turned 16. Not wait.
All right, so the other thing that I want to kind of touch on real quick coming off of SmackDown, I mean, of course, we got the, you know, the LA Knight stuff and, you know, whatever, but so, you know, I didn't even really, I guess because the men's War Game match last year was so damn good, it so overshadowed everything else. I kind of, like, low-key forgot that there was actually a women's War Games match last year.
Yes, there was. That was the one.
Damage control. Damage control.
Yeah, and was Rhea on their team?
I think so. Yeah, and then they had then Becky had a team, and so you know now it seems like though that's possibly what's building now. So you know if you caught the end of SmackDown, Asuka joined
Damage Control,
Kyrie and Io, so technically Damage Control, even though Bayley, who's you know supposed to be the leader of Damage Control, had no idea what the hell was going on.
Yeah.
She's like, "Oh, I'm included! Yay!" She was so excited. So and that kind of puts Bianca and Charlotte at a disadvantage. So you know that stands to reason that there's a possibility that this could turn into a War Games match. But then if it's a four, let's say it's a 4-on-4, who's the other two teaming with Charlotte and Asuka?
That's a good question.
Or not Charlotte and Asuka, Charlotte and Bianca.
Yeah.
Because Asuka's on the other side now. So it's, yeah, I mean, it's really, real interesting to see, like, how are they gonna play that now?
I'd have to almost off the top of my head, I don't know a lot of the roster. Like, maybe
there really isn't much.
Maybe like, Zelina. Give her something to do, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah, but she's got the whole LWO thing going on, so is that like something that you distract her from then? Like, yeah, that's...
I'd say so, maybe.
So,
but I mean, honestly, like, but the thing is, I guess there's not a lot of time to build, it'd almost have to happen this Friday, but
well,
like,
it does have, yeah, I guess they have another week.
Yeah,
so I'm just saying because I think eventually Bayley's gonna get turned on and then go back to being a babyface. I think it's time to put back in that role. Like,
I wholeheartedly agree.
It just
with
sucks
that
like it just sucks that like you this didn't happen maybe a few weeks ago because they could take her out. She's off for a couple weeks, and then now all of a sudden she's on their team for War Games. So I mean, especially for the women's 4-on-4 is fine. Obviously, we're gonna have 5-on-5 for the men's, but like to me, 4-on-4 is just fine. I feel like it wasn't most NXTs, Jason. War Games 4-on-4?
Yeah, most of a lot of them were. Yeah.
So
I mean, we obviously found out the men's is going to be 5-on-5.
Yeah.
But we don't know who the fifth member of the other team is. But and we'll talk about that here in a minute. Yeah, but just scrolling through, you know, women on the SmackDown roster, you have Alba Fire, which her and
Isla Dawn.
Isla Dawn, yeah. I mean, they're really not going to be doing anything. You know, that doesn't really make sense. I mean, I guess they could have 5-on-5 if Dakota's cleared to be able to perform. So don't really know what the status of Dakota Kai is, whether she's healthy or not, enough or not. You have, let's see, Kairi Sane's added on there. You have Meechin, but she's, you know, she's not really doing much. Scarlett, she's not really doing much. Why is Stephanie McMahon listed as a SmackDown superstar? That doesn't make any sense. And then
once
Zelina
a star,
Vega,
always a star.
Yeah.
Yeah. Then you have Zelina Vega and Tamina, and that's it. Like, there's no other women listed on. So unless you're bringing somebody back or bringing somebody in, or I guess the one rumor was potentially that maybe Becky would get dragged in because she still has some sort of history with all the women in the match. Like, there's a possibility of that. But yeah, I mean, that's really the only thing I can think of. But Shotzi would make sense because she has history with Bayley and Damage Control. Yeah. So I could see that. I could see Shotzi, but outside of Shotzi, I can't see anybody else that would make sense to have on that team.
No, not unless there was like an NXT like fill-in or something like that. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know.
Yeah, but even that, like, it's still got to make some sort of storyline sense, right? You would think.
That's what I would think. Like, I mean, I don't know. Like, I understand they want to, like, I really don't think there's enough there to do a women's war games. Like, to me, like, the men's, yeah, like, there's almost barely enough to do a men's war games, if that makes sense.
You don't think the story is good enough, you mean, to do a men's one?
No, I think it's good enough, but, like, almost barely, so.
Yeah. Well, and we'll let's jump right into that, right? On Monday Night Raw, I mean, probably the biggest thing that happened outside of I mean, really, I mean, Raw was a really good show, don't get me wrong. You know, Miz and Ivar had a great match. Nakamura continued to be kind of creepy in promos.
CM Punk.
And then, yeah.
No, I was just thinking about this. But, like, as far as the men's war game, I guess what I mean is there is enough to do one or thing. I guess what I'm thinking of is that, like, I almost feel like it almost needed like another maybe month or more of
this has been building for a long time. I mean, Cody being interrupted by Judgment Day interrupting, like, you know what I mean, like, that it's Sammy's issues with Judgment Day, like, it has
I guess
been
it's
building.
Just a matter like
it may
for the
not
women's
have...
like don't just throw something together, you know what I mean, like, and just don't have, you know what I mean, like, why have a women's war game? Why not have the women do like the traditional Survivor Series match?
Which they still could. I mean, they haven't announced that yet. I mean, that might be a way to go.
That way you can bring in just random people, you know what I mean, like, to help out and something like that. That would be a little bit better than like a war games, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, I thought it'd be fun if they did like a Raw versus SmackDown traditional Survivor Series match in some way, shape, or form. Like, bring in some guys that don't have a spot on the show right now and kind of set that up, doing it that way.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, I don't like that they're getting away from that. I like the traditional stuff, like Raw versus SmackDown. Like, that's what I want for Survivor Series.
Yeah. And you'll never see the days of like the first Survivor Series and stuff where it's just nothing but. Four, you know, 5-on-5s
I mean, I love the war games concept, and even some of those ones in NXT were kind of thrown together, but they were still really good.
Oh yeah, like honestly, some of those NXT war games were like, I would put those up there with some like WCW ones. You know what I mean? Like, you know, WCW had, there was a few here and there like they were really really good, like. Probably like 92 was like the best War Games match ever, but like outside of that, they were kind of a lot of them, other than the early ones, are not very memorable. But like some of those NXT ones, like still the spot with Ciampa going backwards to the table with Cole, that was pretty awesome. And the Dakota Kai turn on Tegan Nox.
Yeah, where she beat the shit out of Tegan Nox.
That was awesome. So, Plus, sorry, but that was, wasn't that also when Rhea Ripley did the riptide to Baszler, I think, through the chairs or something? And, like, that was the same match. Like, yeah. That women's match was, that was pretty special.
Phenomenal, yeah. So, I mean, you know, it's possible. I think they could get away with doing it. I wouldn't be mad at it, I guess. Because you know how much backlash they would get. Oh, you had a men's war game match, but you didn't have a women's war game match. Like, it's almost like every big match now has to be counterbalanced. Like, it's, you know, hopefully eventually we'll get to a point where maybe we have a women's war game match and not a men's, because the story is better on the women's side than it's on the men's side. Like, I get the two Royal Rumbles, I get the two Money in the Bank matches, but, you know, for a match like this, kind of similar to Hell in the Cell, it almost seems like it needs that blood feud to, like, really be paid off in this way.
We don't mean that in, like, a sexist way or anything. It just could be the women right now could have a better story than the men. We could still say, well, why? But you already got, you know what I mean? Like, I'll throw together a men's match. You know what I mean? Like, so it could go.
Yeah, exactly. It's whatever. It's same thing with main eventing a show. Like, whatever the A story is, should main event that show. Not just having the main event be the main event. Whatever the best story is, even if it's not the title story, whatever the best story is, should main event that show, because that's what everybody's paying to see, so to speak. You know, well, I guess in a way, but. Yeah, man, I don't know, but again, like, the wild card though was Drew McIntyre. So, you know, we had the tag team championship match at the end of the night. You know, everybody from Judgment Day, everybody from the Cody and Jey Uso side barred from ringside. You know, they're not even allowed in the building. They got kicked out earlier, which was interesting. You know, they made JD McDonagh an actual member of Judgment Day, so it's official now. And then out of nowhere, McIntyre, who earlier had congratulated Seth and shook his hand, then pops out of the crowd and claymores Jey Uso. And the show ends with him shaking Rhea Ripley's hand, which was very interesting.
Yes.
You know, Judgment Day has no leader, but I think Rhea Ripley is firmly in charge of everything
on. And I'm all for that, because, like, again, there you go. I mean, There's been strong valets, there's been strong women managers, you know what I mean, that have been, like, heads of things, but, like, in this day and age and everything, like, somebody who's also a competitor, like, it's pretty firm. Yes, she's the world champion. She's the leader. I don't care if it's women's or men's. She's a world champion, and she's the leader. Mommy gets what mommy wants. But yeah, that was, so that right there, like, I think I don't want to say I didn't see it coming, or I did see it coming, because I was back and forth on it, just because at times McIntyre made you think, like, okay, like, I'm not this, like, can't be babyface anymore. Am I a heel? I'm not really. Am I? Aren't I? You know what I mean? Like, he just is what he is.
Yeah.
But now, like, this, like, firmly happening, like, okay, now shit's on. Especially what Cody said out there, too.
Yeah. Did you get a chance to see that, Riley?
Nope.
So Cody, after the show went off the air, had the microphone in his hand, said, okay, well, looks like they have, you know, they have a friend. Well, guess what? We have one, too. And then kind of left it open-ended, but the crowd started chanting Randy. And He didn't correct them.
And there's history there between those two, especially pandemic era. Even though it was different, you know, face heel, but still, like, that to me, like, is, you know, the logic.
That'd be my guess.
And that'd be awesome.
And I think we'll find that out next week on Raw, because, you know, I don't think they're gonna want to leave it up to being a question mark, because I don't think they want the crowd to assume it's going to be CM Punk. So I think it'll be smart if somehow that's revealed. Now, it'd be great if it was revealed by Randy popping out of nowhere and hitting an RKO that nobody sees coming, because that's going to be the best way. I can think of a few ways that they could really make that work, but you know, it'd be interesting to see, man. I mean, Randy, but that's the thing. The only thing that concerns me about that is Randy had major back surgery and has been gone from the ring for over a year. And your first match back is a War Games?
Well, I think the easy way to protect that is that he goes in last. And yep. The match pretty much ends pretty quick after that. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, I mean, he can't take... I'd be shocked to see him take, like, a major bump through a table or, you know, a hard shot on the, you know, the in-between the ring thing or anything like that. Like, I'd be really surprised to see him take anything like that, but...
Yeah. And they don't have to have him do any of that. Yeah. There is going to be 9 other people in that match that can take all of those, and he can just be the guy that's hitting all of his moves.
And he's smart because the way Randy Orton does what Randy Orton does. You know what I mean? Like, so like if they say, you know, if he feels good enough to do this and that, he's not. Otherwise, he wouldn't fucking do it. He'd be like, no, I'm good. You know what I mean? So,
you're right.
You know what I mean? Like,
so what do you think of this? What if on the night after War Games, Randy ends up turning on Cody, and that's the next feud that we have for Cody?
Yeah, I can see that happen. I honestly think that's what's going to happen. I think he turns that night or the next night, like really quickly.
Wouldn't it also be interesting if Seth is incapacitated during this match and Priest ends up finding a way to cash in
during the match
on Seth during the match? Yeah,
I'd be surprised.
Yeah, but that's good that you'd be surprised. You know, because you don't really think about it. You know, what I mean, like it's good. I want something like that. I wanted to take something like that to where, you know what I mean. You expect it, and all of a sudden, boom, like, he's just out of nowhere.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, but, I mean, that's pretty much all I really want to cover with Monday Night Raw. I mean, I know, I watched NXT, too. It was a pretty decent show. You know, I think the most intriguing thing to me about what's going on in NXT right now is that I'm pretty sure Carmelo Hayes is the one that took out Trick Williams, but Lexus King is taking the credit for it because he knows that Carmelo's not going to call him out on it and say, no, it was really me.
I didn't watch his promo from a couple weeks ago. People said it was really bad or something like that.
He's gotten a little, the last couple weeks, it's been a little campy and a little forced. Okay,
because the one thing I did see him say, which I was like awesome with, was, especially like, okay, this whole thing of taking the last name of his abusive stepfather, but the reason why is because he's like, basically, graphically, he's like, he raped me in my childhood, so I'm raping him of his last name, basically, or, you know what I mean, like, not figuratively rape, obviously, or taking, you know, I mean, but, like, so I thought that's a good explanation for it, you know what I mean, so, I don't know, like, just, yes, things probably forced or whatever, but I'm telling you, like, I think if he believes it, then it's gonna work. You know what I mean? If they believe it, he believes it. Yeah. Like, I think
he's still finding his way. He's had some really good promos and really good lines, and he's had a few that were kind of like, all right. The one that he did with Carmelo and Trick in the ring, though, I thought that was pretty good. It was the backstage this week that I thought was the one that I was like, eh. I don't know, Riley. Did you watch it? How do you feel about it?
Was the one this week was just him with Baron Corbin, wasn't it?
Oh yeah, that's the one that I thought was kind of forward. Yeah.
I thought that was okay. Yeah, I didn't have any problem with it. I'm like, he definitely took 100% credit for attacking Trick Williams, and
yeah,
it was the one I think during Halloween Havoc or something where he was sitting in that chair.
Mm-hmm.
Eating out of the goblet or whatever. That one seemed very forced. Okay.
Everybody said it's the one with Trick and Carmelo Hayes in the ring. They said it was cringeworthy. Yeah. I guess I don't know.
But I think it's kind of on purpose though, because I think the issue is he's taking credit for something he didn't actually do. So it's a little. I think it's purposely that way because he's kind of being weaselly about it, and that's kind of where that's coming off. So that's kind of what I wrote it off to. Like, it did kind of feel that way, but at the same time, I'm like, oh, okay, he's taking credit for something that he knows Carmelo did, but he knows Carmelo isn't going to call him out on it, so he's being a little coy with his delivery with stuff, and that's what I took from it.
Yeah.
So,
that's funny that was your NXT one. What I'm more interested in is the scandal at Chase U.
Yeah, what is the scandal at Chase U?
No idea, but I'm interested. I want to know.
Have you seen any of that, Kevin? Just
bits and pieces on Twitter.
It's basically like a Harbaugh level scandal going on at Chase U right now.
Yeah.
If we have time in the show, we can talk off air about that. Yeah. But I mean, you guys saw the stuff happen today. Michigan basically.
I haven't seen anything.
Okay,
happen
so
today.
Here's my side note. Right. But like, so basically, Michigan, who said they were going to fight tooth and nail, you know, in court, the suspension and all this and that, and we are this, and you know, it's us against everybody, but we're America's team. So nice contradiction there. But anyway, they come out and they basically like accepting the suspension, case closed, with the Big Ten, because the Big Ten basically has them by the nuts. So they basically took a bargain deal with them. Now, doesn't mean the NCAA is done. So there's more that's going to happen. But yeah, that's basically them saying, yeah, we're good.
Yeah, Harbaugh is going to the NFL next year.
Oh, yeah.
I don't think he's going to Chicago, probably.
Yeah, but, no. And plus they're losing. They have like 40 seniors on their team or something like that. You know what I mean? So, yeah. Whatever. Us, Michigan versus everybody, but we're America's team.
Oh, man. All right. Well, let's get into AEW.
I got time for a show. Hopefully it's not too long. So,
what's that?
Us versus everybody, America's podcast.
That's pretty long.
I know.
We can just say America's podcast and go from there. All right. So, you know, I don't know. Do you guys want to kind of go through the full gear card and then talk about Dynamite as we go through it? Or is there anything like that stands out from Dynamite?
Oh.
Like, I have some notes on Dynamite.
Yeah, we just go back and forth. I'd probably go a little quicker that way.
Okay. All right. Cool. So we'll kind of start going through the cards. Let me scroll down here. All right, so we have a four-way tag team championship match for the AEW World Tag Team Championship. So Starks and Big Bill are going to defend against La Faction Ignorable.
What's funny is that
I don't think Jason screwed that up. I think that's an actual thing.
Rush and Dralistico versus FTR, and then also the Kings of the Black Throne, which are Malakai Black and Brody King. So it's a four-way match. So there has been some build to this, but it's been on Collision, which my DVR, I keep forgetting to record it, so I really haven't watched much Collision. I really don't know enough to like really say. I could say who I think I'd like to win, which would be the Kings of the Black Throne, personally, for me. So that's who I would pick to win.
Yeah, that's who I want to win. Who I think's going to win, I have no fucking clue.
Right.
So... Let's just go with who we want to win.
Yeah.
So I want.
I think it's gonna be Roosh.
You don't think it's gonna be.
I don't know who they are.
And the douchebag.
That's Roosh.
Yeah, it's Roosh.
That's. Oh,
that's wait, who you picked.
Huh.
I don't know who they are.
I'm sorry, I don't speak Spanish. I try to learn it. I try my best, but I don't always fully understand.
I don't know who they are, but I'm going to pick
them. I apologize, but...
So you're picking Rush and Trelestico. That's your pick?
It's not Preston?
Who's Preston?
He's the other guy.
No. It's Rush and Trelestico.
He's the white guy.
Yeah, it's not the white guy. Are they still your pick then, or are you going somewhere else?
No, I'm still going to pick them.
Okay.
I think they're
gonna
go FTR.
All right, and then you know they've been building this, not so much with like Chris Statlander in the picture. It's more been Julia Hart and Sky Blue, but they have a chance in a three-way match against Chris Statlander for the TBS Women's Championship. I like Julia Hart. I know it'd be, you know, House of Black coming away with two championships.
I like
but
Julia Hart too.
I kind of like. I love the presentation.
I think she's
Julia
Hart. I mean, she's really
It's gonna be Sky Blue.
Last night.
Yes.
You see that, Jason?
It's gonna be Sky Blue.
I watched the whole match.
She
what was the botch?
The ending or something?
Her finishing move. Like she hit it a little rough, but it wasn't terrible though. So why Sky Blue?
I wonder. Give us a couple reasons. Maybe four. Oh,
I don't know. She's got good assets. Yeah.
She's got nice peaches. All right. You know, I'm going to skip this one until. I might as well go in order because then I'll forget it. So this is the other one that you know I said earlier that was the one that I was going to be excited to watch. It's Hangman Adam Page versus Swerve Strickland with Prince Nana for the grudge match.
I think it's a Texas
this has
death
been really
match,
well
isn't
built.
It, or
it is a Texas death match. Thank you. Correct. Yeah, with Texas death match. This
who
has
won
been
the
really
first
well
match?
Hangman did, right?
Okay.
So I feel like the thing is, though, with this type of build and classic wrestling storyline, Hangman would have to win, right? Like, you went into this dude's house and threatened his family. Like, that's classic, like, leading to the babyface win. But in this situation, I almost would rather Swerve win,
too,
personally.
Get a third one out of it.
Yep. Yeah.
This has been, like... It's amazing how sometimes AEW just gets some of these feuds sometimes randomly that are just they do so well with, and like if they do this one right, easily get a third match, and I'm talking like the next pay per view. You can easily get a few more months out of this program.
Yeah, Hangman's great with a personal storyline. Like you give him something personal to chew into, he's great with it, dude. His promo, his promo was good. He did steal something from Seth, though, because that whole line about, well, that's why your fiance left you and your kids want nothing to do with you. That was, remember when Seth said that to Riddle before their cage match?
I didn't even realize like, that was a stolen line, but like, I mean, it's the truth though for Swerve. So, you know what I mean? Like,
oh, so and I didn't know that though. So that Swerve's fiance left them.
Supposedly that's true line, whatever. Okay. So. But I mean, come on, the line about animus steal your weed. Like, come on. That was awesome. Like, he was cooking, man. Like, and the fact that they couldn't touch each other and then he started beating the shit out of Nana. Like, that. Yeah. And, like, Swerve had to stand there. Like, that's what I'm saying. Like, done such a good job. And, like, if Swerve wins, like, you're getting a third something. Whether we're going to get like a cage match or, you know, or whatever, something. I think definitely because it's a story.
Where do you go from a Texas death
match? Yeah, I know, right? Like... Oh my God, please not an exploding barbed wire match. God. But that's what I'm saying. Like, they keep doing it right. Like, this is like another one of those feuds, like, we've talked about it before. AEW is the land of 1,000 titles. Like, this doesn't need a title.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
No, it's not.
It's just like the, you know, like, I don't know. There's been plenty of feuds they've had, like, that don't need a title, and this is another one. So, like, kudos to them. And this one kind of, to me, just kind of came out of nowhere a few months ago. You know what I mean? Like,
well, it's, I mean, it's been going on. Yeah, I guess it's been a few months, but they, I mean, they had a match at the last right. pay-per-view, and they had a pretty decent build even going into that. That one was all about, you know, Swerve believing he was on Hangman's level, and
yeah,
you know,
and then that, they just and turned
that
it
he
like,
should be surpassing yeah. him. Yeah,
so yeah, I'm with you.
Yeah, like, they turned it on a dime.
Like if something was going to sell me on it, like this is definitely a match.
Yeah. When he goes, Nana makes his living off of you, and then he goes and spends that living buying weed from a high school kid in yes. the parking lot. Like,
dude, it was
Nana the whole time. No, I don't do that. I don't.
That's
do
why,
that.
Like Riley in our Discord chat, like I shared it. I'm sure, but like saw it, but like I shared it, and I was like, cowboy shit.
Oh man, yeah, that was the best I've seen Hangman in a long mm-hmm. time. So, you know, I think Swerve's got to win it though, right?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah,
I think he's going to too. Honestly, that would be my prediction. So,
all right, okay, I like that. So we're all in agreement with this one. I swerve when I drive. The one thing I did notice. And it was a little subtle, but when his music hit, oh my god! Sorry, I just looked up at the screen and saw Lamar Jackson just fall over.
Oh yeah, he turfed himself. Dude, Burrow's out.
Well, I know. Jackson's I saw
hurt.
That.
Jackson's hurt collapsed. Too.
He's playing hurt. Well, good. They can all kill each other.
Yeah,
the Browns.
Let them both go down.
Yeah. Anyway, so, but did you catch when the music hit and they were coming out and Nana's doing his dance, Swerve kind of like looked over at him yeah. and rolled his eyes.
Yeah.
So there's a little, you know, a little dissension there, a little hint at what may be to come down the road.
Yeah. I can see like Swerve winning and, you know what I mean? And then just beating the shit out of him too after.
Yeah. Yeah. All right, now we got the tag team match. Again, kind of a personal rivalry. We got the Golden Jets, because Kenny Omega can't be in a tag team without the word golden in it, versus the Young Bucks, Matt and Nick Jackson. So the Golden Jets, Kenny Omega, Chris Jericho, for anybody that isn't sure. It's a little bit of a play on the Winnipeg Jets, because they're both from Winnipeg, and you know Kenny Omega apparently is golden because I don't know, is his hair, is that what it is, or what is it that's so golden about him?
Is
that's
it, I don't know what that is. Like him and Ibushi are the golden lovers, but like right. I don't know why. I don't know, that's something I definitely have to look into.
Yeah, so they have their match against, so Matt and Nick Jackson are basically jealous. You know, this seems to be a common story with them. Anytime Kenny makes a friend outside of them, they don't like it. And they wear their jealousy pretty much on their sleeve, and they get really butthurt about it. And, you know, they don't like Chris Jericho, so they're mad that Kenny is teaming with Chris Jericho. So now they're going to fight about it. So, I'll be honest with you. Somebody had posted a video that came across on TikTok, and he was just like, the Young Bucks have, like, these, like, punchable faces. Like, I don't know what it is about them. I do not like them. Like you know, like it's not even like a heel baby face sort of thing. Like even when they're like I just don't like them. Like there's something about them that just rubs me the wrong way. It's maybe a look, or and I think it is because they have punchable faces. I'm just not a fan.
I agree with you on the punchable faces. yeah, I'm not saying I don't like the Young Bucks. Like, don't get me wrong, they're tremendous, you know what I mean? Like they could do some tremendous things. I think they do some funny things, but like they just, there's times where like they'd like gravitate to you, I guess, but then there's times, like you said, it makes you want to just punch them in their fucking face, you know what I mean? Like I think of like last night, like the whole promo stuff with Kenny and everything, like they just did so bad in it, I think, in the backstage one. Because I think it even caught, like, Kenny off guard and even Jericho when he came in, like, off guard. Like, what the fuck? Like, you know what I mean? Like, they just, I don't know. The way they were arguing, yeah. with him, like, it was so, yes, punchable in your face, childish shit. But like, I think about the match they had with Phoenix and Pentagon, like in the cage match. But just like them coming out, like I love their ring entrance. You know what I mean? I love the pose. I love the confetti, all that, and everything. But the, you know what I mean? Like, there's times where it's like, I really like the Young Bucks. I fucking hate the Young Bucks. So yeah. I agree. Yeah.
Riley, do you copy those feelings, or how do you feel about the Young Bucks?
I've never liked the Young Bucks.
All right.
from the first time I was introduced to them. I don't know what it is about them. It's probably their face, just punchable. But they do have talent. Yeah.
But for like people like, so, the problem is like, I mean, like somebody like Meltzer thinks that like they're the greatest tag team of all time. Like, yes, spot fest wise, they might be the greatest tag team, one of the greatest tag teams of all time. Yeah. I'm not even gonna say the greatest, I say one of them. But like, to me, like I'm all, like I said, I'm mostly about storytelling and stuff, and like, I wouldn't even put them in top 10 tag teams of all time.
Yeah.
Yeah, they don't do a great job of storytelling. And now, even
now with the Spot Fest stuff, is that because they're VPs of the company and they can put these in? So they have all these awesome spots?
That's more their style even before they were VPs. Like, that's just all they've always had, that type of, that's even in New Japan.
Well, to me, like I said, outside, like, the tag, the cage match they had with Phoenix and Pentagon, yes. That's probably one of, like, the best tag matches in AEW. Because it wasn't just mostly spots. I think being in the cage, they were able to tell more of a story, of brutality and whatnot. But, like, the tag title match they had with Hangman and Kenny, that was freaking amazing match, but there was so much story to that. You know what I mean? Like, so I'm hoping
there's a personal.
Yes, so I'm hoping that this match will be kind of like that. I honestly I don't know. I wish there was some kind of like heel turn out. I don't know. I like Jericho and Kenny better as heels, personally.
Yeah. Here's my thing. Like, I cannot get into a lot of their matches because of this. Like, they look like just your average Joe walking off the street. Like, they don't look the part. But then they, like, this is literally like a sequence in a Young Bucks match. Nick Jackson takes a top rope cutter followed by a knee to the face, followed by a tombstone pile driver, followed by a power bomb, followed by a like bomb dropped on him, and then he kicks out. Like that shit, like it's move after move after move after move that like are all finisher moves that have been established through the history of wrestling as these devastating finishers, and then he kicks out and then he fucking wins with a roll up. And that shit drives me absolutely bonkers.
The poses,
the super kick parties aside, like whatever, the Usos hit a lot of super kicks in their matches and stuff like that too. You know, we've already established that that's no longer a protected finish. Like Shawn Michaels has joked about it, like it is what it is. But it's just like the devastation that they put themselves, the peril that they put themselves in, and kick out of it every time. It's just so unbelievable to me. I just never get into any of their matches because I know basically how it's going to go. They're going to take all this unbelievable punishment, somehow kick out of it, and either lose with a roll-up or win with a roll-up, and that's going to be the end of it. And I also hate their finisher, too, which is that Meltzer driver. Because it's not protected, and people kick out of it all the time, and that should never be kicked out of.
The one thing they do have really cool of is their, I do like their theme music.
Yeah, it's all right. That's all right. All right, so that brings us back to this match, right? So the Golden Jets versus the Young Bucks. So the stipulation on this is if the Golden Jets lose, they can no longer tag together. Where if the Young Bucks lose, they have to give their tag team championship opportunity that they have to the Golden Jets. So that being said, what's it going to be? Are we going to see the Golden Jets go after the tag team titles? Or are they just going to never exist again? I'm going to say it's going to be the Golden Jets. Because I don't like the Young Bucks.
I think Young Bucks are gonna win. Well, I guess no, sure, I go with who I want to win. I want Omega and Jericho to win, obviously. So I'll just go with
okay. Them. Yeah. So that's where we're going. Yeah, we're going with who we yeah. want, not, oh, yeah. not who we think. Riley?
Before I say my pick, is Paul White okay?
Who? Oh, yeah, yeah. We he took talk about that match.
Yeah, we
it's
didn't.
Pretty, it's pretty. It's pretty.
That
it's
match
pretty,
was.
It's pretty safe to say, like, he can't do much anymore. Just because, yeah, but for right. him to do that spot for Powerhouse Hobbs, like to give yep. that back to him, and for Powerhouse Hobbs to yeah. safely drop him, you know what I mean? Like, that's not. I mean, I know Paul White kind of controlled everything, but for those two to pull that off, like, that was.
It wasn't even the drop to the car that looked that devastating. It was yes. the roll off to the pavement.
Well, I have a theory, too, of why he and Jericho wore suits, not only to match, because obviously they're former tag team champions, but I'm thinking right. it has something to do with maybe, like, Paul White was really garbed up underneath with some padding, probably in braces and whatnot. Just
oh yeah. yeah,
I didn't hear that or anything like that. That's just my own
take. The
yeah,
take the
maybe that helps.
Well, and I mentioned how goofy his legs looked, you know, when he came out in his gear the week before. So maybe they were trying to hide that yeah. too, because with that big knee brace that he had on, his one leg looked like triple the size yeah. of the other one.
That's just my guess, but
that match was kind of fun. I'm not gonna lie.
It was a promo match. They got paid six figures for it.
Yeah, and good yeah. for them. I mean, WWE does stuff like that all the time too. Yeah. Like that's yeah. there's no problem. You know, and I thought they integrated the stuff in pretty nicely. Kota Ibushi coming down with a bike.
Going, he got a bicycle. Remember, like you ever watched yeah. Bachamania? The whole Dusty with the bicycle. Taz, he got a bicycle. He said it just like Taz. Dusty.
I think he could have laid in those shots with the yeah, pipe a little
that was
bit
just
more.
Like,
yeah.
It was like Orange Cassidy shots.
Yeah, but the shots with the bicycle, people landing on the bicycle, I cringed every yeah. time they took a hit from that.
Well, how about when Brian Cage clotheslined him off it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was right after that.
I see him, like, going down and lightly tapping the guys with the pipe. I'm just like, whatever. And then Cage comes out of nowhere and just land back. So yeah. I'm like, oh, my
sorry.
God.
I pissed my pants. I still can't get over Taz at that. You got a bicycle.
And the other spot, though, that suplex that Brian Cage had on, was a Kenny that he deadlifted him over the ropes.
Through the tables.
That was incredible. That was awesome.
Yeah, that was crazy. But how about Kenny doing the one winged angel with Brian Cage? Like, that was... Yeah.
Brian Cage is a beast.
Yeah.
I thought it looked really well. Like, I've seen him do that move where it looked like, he shouldn't have done that to that guy. But this actually looked to me, smooth.
Oh, yeah. He delivered it perfectly. He did a great job. All right, let's see what we got next on the list.
I'm going to give my pick.
Oh, you didn't give your pick yet? No, my bad. No. What's your pick on that one?
I'm going to go with the Golden Jets.
Oh, okay.
I figured I'd just
all right.
said the Young Bucks could
right.
go fuck themselves.
All right, so then, and this one's a pretty okay story that's been built to the match for the International Championship between Orange Cassidy and Jon Moxley. You know, Moxley, this has been a pretty personal rivalry. I think the opening match of Dynamite featured Moxley and Yuta versus Hook and Cassidy.
Yep.
I got a couple issues with that match. One, Yuta wasn't legal when he pinned Hook. He was not tagged in. He came in and for the pin, not tagged in, and got the pin and got the win. That's one problem I had with that. And how, like, are we expecting...
No, he got the tag.
When? I went back and rewound it. He was not tagged.
Really?
He did not tag. Yeah,
I would have sworn, like, he threw him into the... He got the tag.
So Hooked Moxley with a red rum, right? And then Moxley, like, made eye contact with Yuta, and he drug him over, and Yuta hit Hook, but he never tagged Moxley. I went back and rewound it and watched it just to make sure that I was right about that. He never tagged Moxley, but then he came in and pinned him after Moxley hit that with the Death Rider on him.
See, I thought the opposite. Like, Moxley just did all the work, and then Yuta came in and pinned him.
Yeah, And I bet you they'll probably have like a buy-in match between Hook and Yuta would be my guess, because you know Hook seems to only be able to get on the buy-in for these shows. But you know, freaking Super Moxley, like he no-sold everything Orange Cassidy did to him. So it's like going into this match, how are you expecting Orange Cassidy to even have a chance when he hit him with the Orange Punch and he no-sold it? Like he hit him with like a couple other big moves and he no-sold it. Like Moxley is like apparently in such a like a rage right now that he's just not feeling any pain apparently. Like I don't know what to make of that.
I will say for Orange, like that put doubt into his mind. Like he had no doubts whatsoever. And I don't know, he was holding his fist just staring at it at the end, like, that did nothing to him.
Yeah. So like I feel like that, and Orange has been like really showing his aggressive side, and I think that's his Moxley's way of saying, "Oh, you think you're being aggressive? Well, let me show you what aggressive really looks like." So, I mean, it's gonna be an interesting match, I guess, to see what happens. Like, I feel like it's probably gonna be dominated by Moxley. I would love to see if Orange wins, maybe hitting Moxley with like a brass nux on a Orange punch or something like that. But
I think that something like that's gonna happen.
So I'm going to go Orange just because I like Orange Cassidy. I like Mox too, but I don't know. I'm just going to go Orange on this one.
I like them both as well. So I guess I'll go with who I think is going to win. And I think Orange is going to win. He's going to do something. Now you said that. I think he'll do something like that. Roll quarters or something. All right.
Oh boy. They need to stay away from the roll quarters.
Yes. Yes, they do.
What about you, Rob?
I'm going with Orange as well. I think he's going dark. You know?
He's going dark? All right.
He's going
tangerine.
Is he going to spoil? Yeah. Is he going to get moldy? All right.
He's going to come back as pickle juice.
All right. And then we got the trios match, which is Sting, Darby Allin, and Adam Copeland versus Christian Cage, Luchasaurus, and Nick Wayne. And then, of course, Ric Flair is going to be in the corner of Sting, Darby, and Adam Copeland. How about, Ric Flair is going to turn on Sting in this match, right?
Like, oh, I'm sure. It's going to happen eventually.
Is it too soon?
Yeah, I think it's too soon. but Ric Flair is such a big Michigan fan, so fuck Ric Flair. I still have a Woo Energy in my fridge I bought a long time ago. I still haven't tried it yet. I'm kind of...
You haven't tried the psychedelic mushrooms yet?
Yeah, I'm a little afraid to. I will say, I bought it because Giant Eagle carries it. And I almost went... So he came to the Giant Eagle right by my house.
Yeah, I was going to say, wasn't he at the Giant Eagle real close to you?
But then, like, something... I wasn't feeling good or something like that. And I'm glad I didn't, because I guess like the line, like I would have had to get there at like 2 o'clock or something like that. People said like we're there waiting on him, so like it would have not worked out. But anyway, so like there was someone, I'm like, okay, I'll buy it. Like I could not find a price tag on it anywhere. I was like, whatever, I'll buy one. $5 a can.
Wow.
So like that was the caveat of like the meet and greet with him, is that you had to buy a six pack of it, and a six pack is $30. So that made sense. So I thought that was just like for that. I'm like, okay, it's you gotta pay $30, it's to meet Ric Flair, you have to buy a six pack of his Woo Energy and all that. Nope. That legit if you want a six pack, it's $30.
Wow. That's wow. That's a lot for an energy drink. But I mean, I guess energy drinks are like the hardest space to get into, and the fact that they, you know, that AEW is now the official home of Woo Energy. Like, that's a part of the contract that he signed. Like, basically, Woo Energy is paying his contract because they're giving AEW the same amount of money that he costs to promote the product, which, you know, it's good business, but at the same time, like, the thing with energy drinks is, like, if you don't have a good, if you don't have a distributor like Coke or Pepsi or something like that, that, like, that owns it or partners with you to give them your distribution, like, you're going to have a really hard time getting that sold. And especially if it's only in, like, Giant Eagles. It's not, Giant Eagles, like, local or around here, but it's not like it's everywhere. You know what I mean? Like, so, you know, those distribution deals are going to be tough for him.
I'll stick with my C4s.
So,
C4 is the best.
I mean, Zoa's are pretty good. You know, they'll give the Rock credit, but they're also hard to find on the shelves.
You can't go wrong with an orange slice C4.
I don't think I've had an orange slice yet. I'll have to try that. I mean, I'm partial to C4 just because, you know, they hooked me and my buddy up with that Kevin Hart experience. I'll tell you what. So
the cherry Starburst is great. I don't know if you had any of the grapes, Jason, but, like, the grape flavor ones are really good. You know, the thing is, like, I was scared to, like, drink one. Like, just because people said, like, all the shit that's in it. Like, honestly, I don't know. Like, I don't feel any of the, like, shittiness of an energy drink like I normally have. So, yeah. Drink C4 over Woo Energy.
All right. Cool. So that brings us back to this match. Sting, Darby Allin, Adam Copeland.
Oh, I know what's going to happen, Christian Jason. Cage, Barry Windham's going to come out Lane. And reform the Four Horsemen with Flair and Tully.
I mean, this is Adam Copeland's, like, first, like, pay-per-view since he's been with AEW, right? They got to win this match, right?
I mean,
I don't know.
That's what I'm going with.
I mean, yeah, I guess so.
Well, it's who you want to win, not who you think's going to win. So, okay, so your pick is Christian, then.
I think if Flair's going to be out there, they're going to do something to Flair that makes them all go like, oh, no, don't hurt Ric Flair, and cost them the match.
Great analysis there, Riley. Oh, no, don't do that to Ric Flair.
So you think that's what's you're picking Christian, Lucha, and Wayne?
Yes.
All right. And then we have the Women's World Championship match. Which
is card.
I know, right? Two more. These are the last two. Last two.
There's three.
Three.
Well, I mean, I'm not counting 0 hour match.
We gotta count that. Right?
All right. I guess we can count the 0 hour match. All right. So, Women's World Championship, Hikaru Shida versus Timeless Toni Storm. Dude, when they did that vignette, the backstage, when it went from as soon as that dude opened the door, it went to black and white.
Oh, she's got it. I want her to win. She's got it.
And the,
all the above.
The filter that they use for her voice and everything is when she's in the black and white is awesome. Like, it's so, the presentation is so good. But it's like, yeah, but then you never want to see her lose, though, if she wins. Like, I feel like she doesn't need to be in the title picture, but she is. But maybe her being that champion will actually finally bring some story to the women's championship.
There's no,
there's
and, no like, reason she can't make hold it for close to more. A year, and then if she ends up losing it, they find something else that, like, that I don't think it'll hurt or anything. You know what I mean? Like, I think they could give her the title and be a great story build with it. So, yeah, I think I want her to win. She needs to win.
Yeah, and how Juice Robinson? I love that character.
Good God!
Good for him. Yeah, Riley, what's your thoughts? You going Timeless Toni or you like Hikaru Shida? All right, so I guess we're gonna go the buy-in match, which is the ROH Tag Team Championship match. You got the Guns facing MJF Mojo. And maybe a partner. So
I think so.
Is it gonna be Samoa Joe? You think?
But that's the problem. Is like this. Dude. Again, a buy-in match. and you have something like that. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know.
Did you guys see Samoa Joe's God, match that he had on Dynamite?
Did you see the still picture of the guy jumping? To me, that's one of the best spots that there is. Samoa Joe doing the walk away, but the fact that the guy was like, look at him, like, what the? So funny.
Too good. It was priceless. Yeah. It really was.
I don't know. If the guns come out to 50 Cent again, I'm going with the guns.
No, I will say that, like, even without the 50 Cent, though, their entrance is just awesome. Like, I love it.
Yeah.
Just the, you know, the shooting, like, that's so good. The presentation's amazing. Then you got the fucking nut job Juice Robinson, just kind of like,
No, I think the guns win.
Do they win if MJF's is, or if Samoa Joe's his partner, though?
I don't know, guys. It's so hard to call.
I see. That's the thing. I don't think so. Like, if Samoa Joe's his partner, I don't see him losing. Like, if it ends up being Max Caster, if it ends up being like somebody like that, or even if it ends up being nobody, like, I could see it just being nobody and him defending it on his own and getting beat, and then having to overcome that, then to face Jay White later. Like, that would make sense, you know what I mean? Put him at a disadvantage. Like, he already lost the two titles. And then he feels bad because he lost the belts that Adam had. Again. Yeah. It makes more sense, honestly, for the guns to win this match because... Because
the Ring of Honor titles don't mean anything.
Especially if they really don't. I mean, Samoa Joe just relinquished one and nobody cared. But it's... I really think, though... Let's say the devil is Adam Cole, because I fully believe we're going to find out who that is at this show, right? We have to. There's no way they can keep drawing this out, because it's already getting a little, like, fever pitched, right? Like, I feel like if they let it go too long, people just won't care. But, like, if it is Adam Cole, they can't still be ROH Tag Team Champions, right?
I mean, you could.
They could be.
Yeah, I guess they could, but I don't know. I just don't. I feel like it's going to put MJF at a even more of a disadvantage if he loses those championships before he has to face Jay White. So I'm gonna say that the guns end up winning. I kind of want the guns to win too. So what do you think, Riley?
So I think he does the match by himself. He loses, and then he contacts Samoa Joe to be on his side, and that is how he retains the belt versus White.
So Samoa Joe helps him retain. Okay.
Yep.
Yeah, and I think he's going to retain too against Jay White.
And then we're going to get and then we'll get the reveal and that's why, of who what and. But the thing is too, like, where does Wardlow play into this stuff? Like, or is this just a build for down the road with Wardlow?
See, I feel like it's almost has to, I feel like Wardlow almost has to be a part of what's going on, because it's like you have too many people going after him right now. Like, at some point those storylines have to intersect in one way, shape, or form. So I feel like if Wardlow is in that group, because there's four guys, right? So there's Cole, there's, you know, probably Roddy. Well, I guess if it's Cole, Roddy, and the Kingdom, and that's four guys right there. So maybe that is a separate thing.
We're trying to wrap up, but like when Roddy and then we're doing the backstage segment, and I don't know, is it Mike Bennett or whoever was behind him rubbing his neck brace? They just, as they cut to that, just the first thing you see. Oh, so funny.
I every time Roddy shows up on screen in the wheelchair with the glasses on and the neck brace, I laugh. Like, I just, like, it gets me every time.
Here's the thing, like, real quick too, like, you know, as much as we shit on AEW and stuff, we talked so much tonight about so many great things that they have going on. Like, why can't they just, stuff going like, on, just weed out some crap, you know what I mean? Like, it just... I don't. They have it right there. You know what I mean? It's just. I don't know.
Yeah.
You have to have so much shit to find just a little bit of gold.
Well, it's like, but you know, it's the whole. Things are getting better. Storylines are getting a lot better. I think Tony Khan needs to take a step back and stop with these major announcements.
Oh, yeah.
Like, who's the signing going to be? Is it Osprey or is it Mercedes? Like, that's the only two people I can think of it possibly being.
Yeah.
That would make an impact.
Is it Goldberg? Is it...
But it's somebody respected, so it's not going to be Goldberg.
I can't see it being Osprey just because he's worked there in there. Like, it's exclusively... I can still see Osprey working New Japan and other things. You know what I mean? It's not like he's going to be exclusive.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know.
Yeah. I can see it being Mercedes Monet.
I honestly would Osprey be could go to WWE. Yeah, so.
He could. All right, well, I guess the last pick, the wild card then, who's the devil? I'm going... You know, Britt Baker into Adam Cole, I guess. I'll play into that theory.
Yeah, it's either Adam Cole. It could be Osprey, if that's the signing, unless he doesn't announce. No, he's gonna announce it.
Yeah, because that's gonna be its own separate segment. It's not CM Punk.
It's probably not CM Punk. I would go with you. I'm gonna say it probably is Adam Cole. But if it is CM Punk, AEW, that basically.
I think too much was made over that whole glass thing, because that was totally. If you look back at that, that is totally a room that they built specifically to throw somebody in through glass. Like that.
Yeah.
I think that was the same.
He had like a Sunday school desk in there with like. And he's just—it was just a weird, like that was such a manufactured room. But what's your pick? Who's the devil, Riley?
Oh, I'm gonna go with Cole, but Kyle O'Reilly is somewhere involved in that.
Okay, all right, I like Kyle O'Reilly being involved. All right, I'm not even gonna speculate on who the signing is. We'll just kind of leave it at it's probably. I think it's gotta be Mercedes. So. But did you see that, Riley? Like Tony Khan announced that he's going to sign somebody.
I missed that.
Okay, so I think they talked about a little bit on Dynamite, but it was a tweet he sent out or something like that. And I could probably pull the tweet up rather quickly because it showed up on my feed. I can read the whole thing. Let's see. What the fuck, dude? You follow that Kenny for your thoughts guy, right?
Or Riley?
Yeah, you.
I think I do. I know I've seen some of his stuff.
Yeah, you gotta see the latest thing that he posted. It just popped up on my feed and it was a little concerning.
I can't wait.
A pro who is known plus respected by virtually every AEW fan. They'll come to LA to sign their contract this Saturday, 11/18 on pay-per-view at AEW Full Gear. See you tonight on Dynamite.
You know what I mean? Like,
yeah. What if it's LA Knight since he's supposedly in contract disputes with God. WWE?
Yeah.
Dude, how crazy would that be though? But no. that's not gonna be it. But yeah, I feel like it's gotta be Mercedes. Like I can't think of any other free agent.
Right, especially
out there
a West Coast
really
thing. Like wasn't her like first match back, like with New Japan that was in it in California. You know what I mean? So
yeah. So and supposedly she's getting back healthy. She hasn't been shown on camera at all anywhere since she made that little appearance in the crowd at All In, so but yeah, so that about does it. I'm ready to wrap this episode up. What about you guys? Are
thinking the same, like, hey, asshole, let us outside. Yep, you can hear it. Yep. Okay, Doug.
All right, cool.
Jesus.
Riley, you got anything?
Well, not if two dogs have to go to the bathroom. I'll save it for another time.
Okay. Did we ever get your note?
No, he didn't.
I mean, I had a couple, but... I did the sparkles with Kevin Owens.
That's right. The sparkle. Oh, God. All right, cool. All right, well, hey, thank you guys for listening to this week's episode of the show. If you want to join in the conversation, find us on X at Live Your Gimmick. You can also make sure to leave a comment on whether you listen on Apple, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Spotify, whatever you listen to, leave us a good review and leave us some comments on how you like the show. Outside of that, that's really all I got. So, you know, hopefully you enjoy AEW Full Gear this weekend. We'll definitely be catching up on it, checking it out. For Riley and Kevin, my name is Jason, reminding all of you beautiful wrestling fans out there to be a fan and always, always live your gimmick. Goodbye, everybody. Nothing? All right, cool. All right.